Thanks for tuning in to Best Show Ever, a podcast presented by the Englert Theater. On this week's episode, we talk with Nolan Peterson, board chair and tenor vocalist for the Choir of Eastern Iowa. We also hear from Grace Swartzendruber, a mother and a full-spectrum doula. What's a doula? We'll get into that, don't you worry. But first, we have an exciting upcoming event to tell you about. After what's felt like a billion years, the Englert Theater is opening its doors back up to the public on September 15th. We're partnering up with Film Scene on the Ped Mall to provide guided tours of our newly renovated spaces from 3 to 7 p.m. So bring a friend, snap some pics, and most importantly, feel proud of what we've accomplished together. Find more information at englert.org/events. We can't wait to see you guys. Nolan Peterson is board chair and tenor vocalist for the Choir of Eastern Iowa. The Choir is a not-for-profit chorus for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender persons, promoting a positive image for these communities through excellence in choral music. The Choir recently celebrated its 25th anniversary with several incredible projects, including a choral celebration of Stonewall. Head to thechoir.org, and that's Q-U-I-R-E, to learn more, become a member, or make a donation. The new season begins on September 12th, so look forward to some wonderful performances in the near future. Nolan, thank you so much for coming on to the Best Show Ever podcast today. We are very excited to have you.
I'm so excited to be here. Talking about the choir is one of my favorite things to do.
Well, perfect. All right, well, let's kick it off. The choir recently celebrated its 25th anniversary. What does, you know, a quarter of a century, what does its ongoing existence signify for the Eastern Iowa LGBTQ plus community and the Iowa community at large?
Yeah, the choir's existence in the first place was born out of the gay choral movement, which was a response to the gay community finding itself again in the aftermath of AIDS, right? So like it was spaces to come together, to be in community, making art, doing something that was public and visible and something that everyone could connect with. Music is a universal language in that way. And to have that come to Iowa City in the mid 90s, you know, such a specific time in the gay choral movement, as it was kind of the end of the gay choral movement in a lot of ways. It was kind of the winding down of the creation of a lot of groups. But to have Iowa City kind of land in there and to have that organization continue on as a volunteer-run organization, I'm like, we only just started having paid staff in the last 10 years, I believe. But prior to that, the directors were volunteers, all of the staff were volunteers. We paid musicians and such, but to know that for almost 20 years, the organization existed purely off of the goodwill, the donations, and the hard effort of everyone who was part of the organization is simply astounding to me and is a testament to the resiliency of not only the queer community, but the desire to find that community in a place like Iowa. And to have Iowa City be the home of that organization is something that I'm proud of, but I'm also, I am, and also the organization is deeply aware of how relevant we are outside of Iowa City and are continuing to make our sub-name, because our official name is The Choir, but our sub-name is The Choir of Eastern Iowa, and to make that Eastern Iowa portion really relevant and to reach all of those parts of Iowa that we haven't gotten to yet.
Yeah, I was going to ask you why, you know, we could all agree that creating space for communities, for the queer community, you know, why that can be so powerful and important. But I wanted to ask, you know, specifically why music and specifically why choral music? And I've never heard of the gay choral movement. And you kind of talked about, you know, it's public, it's visible, it's a universal language. So that, yeah, that is, that's really interesting context. Well, let's talk about Nolan's, you know, personal choir experience, because clearly you love it. You've moved up. You're now the board chair. Tell us about maybe the beginning of this journey and why you've connected so much with it.
Absolutely. The choir brought a space of music back to my life that I had not had for quite a while, honestly. Choir holds a really special place for me because the accessibility of the music makes it so that I don't feel like I'm putting in all this time and effort for something that only a very small group of people get to enjoy. I get to see people from all across the community, from all different socioeconomic backgrounds, from all different cultural backgrounds, from all different spaces artistically, come together and make music together. We have an audience that is very consistent, but also has been growing over the last few years. Folks who we haven't seen before coming in to enjoy our music because we are making an impact in ways that we weren't able to before. And there's also, again, huge credit to those who have been in leadership, all volunteers over the years, who've kept the organization going. I'm really honored to be part of that legacy, and I'm really optimistic that we can look at the next 25 years, hopefully, seeing how we can continue to grow the organization, seeing how we can continue to make impacts to communities outside of Iowa City, and mostly how we can continue to grow the experience here in Iowa City, reach more people, have more members, maybe start a youth choir. There's all kinds of things that we could do to grow the presence, to grow the experience. And I'm just so optimistic about what that could look like for us.
Yeah, there's definitely clearly visions and dreams and collective yearnings happening, which, you know, is always, it's so exciting to have hopes and dreams for the future of a group like this. Do you have a favorite moment or a memory that just, I'm so bad. I always do the favorites, but I...
Right. Favorite is tricky, but I'll pick an artistic example. So the choir, like I mentioned, the commission work that was honoring the 50th anniversary of Stonewall, and that was an incredibly difficult piece. It was a piece that not only was musically challenging, but also presented a level of organization and coordination that I don't think the choir had undertaken in quite a while, in terms of bringing in other voices to do some spoken word, some folks to do the instrumentation, just a level of coordination that was a lot to handle. And we not only executed that here in Iowa City to a degree that I felt really proud to be a part of, but then we got to take the group, a large number of the group, to the Twin Cities and perform with an LGBTQ chorus up there called One Voice, and they're a mixed chorus, and so have a similar profile in terms of membership to the choir. And getting to sing with One Voice up in the Twin Cities was just a transformative experience. It was magnificent. It was breathtaking. It was all of those kinds of experiences that you would want to have as a performer. And I still think about that performance, and I watch it occasionally, especially there's the segments that really move me as an artist, that speak to the kind of music that I love to make and the ways that I love to make music. And I listen to those sections again and just remind myself that that kind of music is possible for everybody. And that's why we should continue existing as an organization, first of all, but also that's why we should continue to invite new people in, giving people the chance to make that kind of experience for themselves.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like a beautiful, whenever excellent art and strong community, whenever those things come together, I just get the chilly willies. I just get all the warm feelings inside, just imagining how wonderful that must have been. So thank you. Thank you for
absolutely
picking a favorite.
Absolutely.
Well, Nolan, thank you again. It's a pleasure seeing you.
Yes, always.
We'll be right back in conversation with Iowa City doula extraordinaire, Grace Swartzenberger.
Did you know that you could be promoting your business, organization, or event to Best Show Ever podcast listeners by placing an ad here on the show? Sponsoring Best Show Ever or other Englert programming ties your brand to a local legacy, the Englert Theater. And your support of the Englert now means more than ever before. In 2020, we experienced a significant revenue shortfall brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic. Through this financially tumultuous time, we're producing new digital productions, including this podcast, our Stages concert series, and Witching Hour Festival, all to inspire positive community growth through the arts. Packages range from $100 on up. Our investment in the arts community is only possible with support from sponsors like you, and arts supporters are known for supporting those that support the arts. Visit englert.org/sponsorship for all of the information about how to advertise. I mean, you're listening right now. Place your ad here, englert.org/sponsorship.
Grace Swartzenberger is a full-spectrum doula supporting birthing parents and partners in the corridor. What the heck is a doula, you might be asking? A doula is a person who provides emotional and physical support during pregnancy and childbirth. They're not medical professionals and they don't actually deliver babies, but they give a lot of the know-how and support for the many other aspects of having a child, from prenatal care to connecting with doctors to being an open ear and even just helping out around the house, doing dishes, taking care of other kids. The list goes on and on. They really just do it all. According to WebMD, studies show that those who utilize doulas have shorter labors, are less likely to need a C-section, request less pain medication, and have a more positive childbirth experience. Aside from being a doula and a mother of two, Grace also facilitates the Doulas of Iowa City organization, and she advocates for birthing people across the state as a representative for the Iowa Maternal Quality Care Collaborative through the Iowa Department of Public Health. Grace, so excited to have you on the Best Show Ever podcast today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Ellie. I'm honored to be here and happy to hang out with you for a little bit.
So if you're willing to take us back to the beginning, why did you decide to become a doula?
Yeah, that's a great question. And actually one that comes up in most of my interviews with potential clients. They want to know why I got into this line of work. My undergraduate degree is in theater and social policy, and I worked for a number of nonprofit agencies in my 20s. Wasn't super satisfying, and we decided to relocate to Iowa City for my husband to go to graduate school, and I also happened to be pregnant at the time. Moved here, 34 weeks pregnant, had a baby in a community where I knew no one, had no resources, no connections, didn't really understand, a lot about being a parent. That's a lot, you learn a lot of that as you go. And my first birthing experience with my eldest son in 2015 was very challenging. Despite me having thought I had done everything I possibly could to prepare, I had hired a doula, had taken all of the birthing classes, read all the books, eaten the special diets, done all the exercises, and my birth ended up being fairly long and traumatic and challenging. And so in processing the aftermath of that and dealing with postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, not having community or resources, I thought to myself often in those early weeks and months after giving birth to my first that there has to be a better way. There has to be a better way to do this, to support birthing people during this unbelievably significant, huge transition in their lives. Because it's not just the person giving birth, it really is the whole family. And I feel super strongly in my work that if partners are supported, siblings are supported, the birthing person is supported, that can have such a huge impact on the nuclear family dynamics, physical and emotional development of the actual child, like the infant, if folks feel well supported and empowered and equipped throughout pregnancy, birth, postpartum, feeding, parenting. And that has become only more apparent in the last 18 months of the pandemic, when resources and especially in-person community and support has become even more limited than it was before, when we already lived in kind of an isolated, individualistic society that is not built around a village kind of construct. So I just felt really strongly that people needed better support for birth, and that even when things don't go how we're hoping or how we're expecting or how we're envisioning, having someone to validate that experience, to help you process that experience, cope, provide really good resources and strategies is really important.
You mentioned earlier, you know, the way our culture as sort of an individualistic society, the way that affects this work. And I'm curious, because you kind of work on the policy side of things too, with the Iowa Maternal Quality Care Collaborative through the Iowa Department of Public Health. You know, what are the things you'd like to see happening on a state level, on a national level, to get this sort of pregnancy care into the arms and hands of, you know, people who need it the most, and to make it more of an accessible thing for everyone?
Yeah, that is the most important question. It is such an important question. It's overwhelming because there are so many things on, you know, local and large scale policy level that need to be changed. Our current AIM bundle that we're working on right now is reducing cesarean sections within the state of Iowa. So putting like really tangible, accessible steps in place for the hospitals in Iowa who have chosen to be a part of the collaborative to take active measures to better support people through pregnancy and labor to hopefully try to avoid unnecessary cesarean deliveries. But also, and this is kind of my personal passion project, when cesarean birth does need to happen, because it does at times end up needing to be a part of folks' birth stories, having better support and better experiences in operative or surgical deliveries as well, because those can be especially traumatic. So really trying to push something called family-centered or gentle cesareans, which makes that birth experience more like a vaginal delivery and much more supported. Pushing for partners and doulas to be allowed in the operating room to support folks, better follow-up care, better referral to resources following surgery, because the reality is it's major abdominal surgery and birth, and both of those things separately on their own are huge life events that require a lot of support, but together they require more support. But additionally, something that is also being worked on, there's a separate committee for mental health and substance abuse issues within pregnancy and postpartum. And so trying to get more policies and more things in place, access to funding and resources for folks with mental health issues and substance abuse in pregnancy and postpartum. We have a real lack of available perinatal mental health specialists available in Iowa to service folks. And at times it can be 6 to 8 weeks before someone can be seen by like a licensed professional if they're struggling with prenatal or antenatal depression, anxiety, and just needing those supports in our community, whether they're in professional therapy, whether they're peer-led support groups. Access when folks are struggling can be really hard. Again, because we live, you know, at home behind our computers, behind our devices, we're not interacting with folks in normal settings. There's no more breastfeeding groups, book babies, music together, all of the things, baby wearing groups, hike it baby, all of the things that 5 or 6 years ago when I was first starting to have kids, I could interact with other parents, you know, share my experience, hear their experience, be normalized by seeing their child's behavior and my child's behavior and be like, okay, I'm not totally wrong. I'm not totally crazy. Everything's not totally wrong. But now, I mean, when you're seeing the highlight reel scrolling by on social media of what folks are choosing to select to share of their lives, and then comparing it to the disaster dumpster fire, really, I mean, postpartum is hard no matter how good, quote unquote, of a baby you have or how good, quote unquote, of a birth experience you have. The dynamics of changing a relationship to going from partners to a family with a child are very hard on any kind of relationship or family system. Work roles, family roles, all of those identity shifts are huge. And so, yeah, we need more support. And that doesn't even touch at all on the maternal mortality crisis for Black birthing folks in Iowa, which is also a very huge and real issue and crisis. And a lot of folks are putting a lot of time and energy into trying to dig in and unpack why our rates are so, there's so much disparity in our rates of Black birthing people who die in pregnancy and birth and white people, because that's abhorrent and absolutely not okay. And so we need to figure out how to systemically address that within our hospital birthing facilities and figure out why adequate care is not being given and try to fix that. But a very serious and important issue as well.
My last question pertaining to being a doula, what spiritually have you gained or learned from, you know, doing birth work?
Oh, that's a really good question. Yeah, no, I don't usually get asked, or I've never been asked that before, so I don't have the canned response ready to go. It definitely is the first work I've ever done in my life that has truly felt like meaningful or valuable or like it's making a difference, right? Like lots of people go to college and go into their careers thinking they're going to make a difference in the world. And I've worked for a handful of nonprofits and other agencies and never felt like the work that I was doing really mattered. But this feels very tangible to see, so to speak, the fruits of my labor, the fruits of the labor of this work. When families do not necessarily always have better outcomes, but have more supported experiences than I did and don't come out horribly traumatized on the other side. Like going back to what I said at the beginning, I think it's so essential when we talk about like ending the cycles of intergenerational trauma and all of these things to have a like safe, empowered, supported, nurtured beginning for a family. And if you're coming into that with all sorts of challenges and trauma and feeling cut off from everything, it just kind of continues that cycle. It just breeds a whole host of other issues, unfortunately. So spiritually, what I've gained is that despite the immense demand and toll that this work takes on me, I do think it's what I'm called to do. I do think it's my vocation. I think it's what I'm meant to do. And the ongoing struggle for any birth worker I've ever known in real life is trying to make that sustainable with like caring for a family and just trying to sustain your own mental and emotional health and all of those things.
Well, you said the art of holding space, and now let's talk about the art of experiencing art.
Yeah.
This is the best show ever. Yeah. Let's talk about your best show ever experience, Rufus Wainwright. Give us just a little bit of the background, what it was like, why it was so special. Tell us the story.
I have been in love with Rufus Wainwright since I was 18. I discovered him when I moved away to college and my freshman roommate introduced me to his work. And he had been making music for many years before that in 2005. And so slowly fell in love with his albums. He's such a voracious and emotional, like full soul singer. And I think I tap in, as an empath, as an artist, I also really, I can connect emotionally to music in a way when a performer is so genuine and real. It's not very produced. It's very like raw and authentic. As someone with a background in a lot of music and theater, seeing that Iowa City valued the arts in that way with Mission Creek Festival and all the other arts events that were available. It felt really hopeful because we moved here for my husband to go to graduate school, but I had my doubts at that time if it would be a community that I could put roots down in, and very quickly felt through that experience and other experiences at that time, getting to know other parents and other resources, becoming a doula, you know, being able to go to art, live art like that, you know, 10 minutes from my home, just felt really awesome in Iowa of all places.
Oh my gosh. I know. It just, Iowa City just gets its little hooks in you.
Oh, it's so good.
You just get these things that just like, you know, I'm like, I won't be here forever. And then you go to this and then you're like, ooh.
No, I kind of think one. We will. I would not have been able to tell you that back then, but I kind of think we will be here forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, Laura, I feel like Iowa City is lucky to have you, with all the work you're doing, you know, as a doula and otherwise. So want to thank you again for that service and also for coming on and sharing some of your experiences and know-how with us today on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Ellie. I really appreciate your time and your care about birthing people in this community and yeah, just getting art into our ears, wherever we are in our little cars and our homes and our office cubicles. I think having access to that, especially now, yeah, it is hopeful.
Our song of the week is What by Tiger. Tiger is an Iowa City-based hip-hop artist. He makes beats, raps, and collaborates with other artists around town. The song comes from his 2019 mixtape, Born Apathy. Get your full Tiger fix at realnametiger.bandcamp.com. Just a heads up, this song contains some strong language, so if you have young ears around, it might be time to go headphone mode. Here it is, What by Tiger.
No sunshine ever made me cry. And it may rain, but I'll take it in stride. Head inside when the storm starts. Have some cold hands wrapped around a warm heart. Sappy as oak bark, happy when the clouds go. Doubt's like a house burning down, how it's filling up the potholes. Doubt hounding, so I take it to the pound. Drying up like savings, that's a rainy day, no doubt. And I'm what I appear, the realness trickled down like a pyramid scheme. Cause dad got it, and mom had it. So goddamn it, I'll be damned if I don't. Mind your business, let me handle my own. Had a hand on his heart, your man been praying for snow. To cover up his tracks while I'm plowing the road. Blow his cover, no motherfuckers sliding by on my watch. Black ice on the highway. Yeah.
So nice of you to stop on by like the autumn rain. Long enough to make the sky gray. So nice of you to stop on by. So nice of you.
Ooh, like the autumn rain. Just long enough to make the sky gray. Oh yeah, well, you look like some low pressure. My bad, I'm only here for fair weather, yeah. I'm only here for fair. Weather, rain, hail, sleet, or snow. The pain been deep enough to drown in. It's getting colder, think you're older. 60-something when it's 30 below. Ain't no line of frost been nipping my nose. Listen, who let you go outside without a jacket on? You're gonna catch a death faster than a tachyon. Rather let you have my umbrella, Ella, Ella. Asking if I'm cold like, ay. It's no more feeling poor like it's payday. Even though I hope the rain might stay away. Like a kitty rhyme, really feeling peace of mind. Pity if that piece of pie's gone by the time I get back. Sitting in the kitchen, kicking back with my honey. Looking out the window like it's sunny. Even though it's pitch black, hit me quick, I might hit you right back. Feeling like $1 million floating down the river in a Ziploc. Hope whoever finds me needs some cash. Living off of borrowed time, TikTok. I need a bath. Haven't seen the sun in weeks. Hella old me knocking on the walls of this house, screaming, would you look at that? Staring out of my window, the sun's looking back. Staring out of my window, the sun's looking back. Staring out of my window, the sun's looking back. Da 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 da. Yeah, da 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 da. Oh, da 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 da. Yeah, da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Da da da.
Every client is unique. One of the things you have to understand is what makes them unique. My name is Kim Schillig. I'm a realtor with Leppett Prager Realtors serving Eastern Iowa. Renting is something a lot of clients feel they can do on their own, but there are so many more variables and ways to negotiate in purchasing or selling a home. If you are considering buying or selling, I'd love the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your strategy. My name is Kim Schillig, and I'm a proud sponsor of Best Show Ever and the Englert Theater. I'm licensed to sell real estate in the state of Iowa.
Support for this podcast comes from Friends of the Englert. To learn more, visit englert.org/friends. Ongoing support provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and the Iowa Arts Council, a division of the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the United States Regional Arts Resilience Fund. Phase One is an initiative of Arts Midwest and its peer United States Regional Arts Organizations, made possible by the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation.